Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for coming to Mass today. I'm sure that the Lord is very pleased that you knew it was a holy day and that you came to Mass. So thank you for your good example, not only to one another, but also to me. Some people might ask the question, why is the Feast of All Saints, this feast on November the 1st, a holy day? Why does it match a feast like Christmas or the Immaculate Conception? What's so special about this day? I think there's two answers in response to that kind of question. The first answer would lead us into the Apostles' Creed. One of the things we say we believe in when we profess the faith through the Apostles' Creed is the communion of saints. And the location of this phrase, I believe in the communion of saints, is very interesting because it kind of points out to us, the seriousness of that dimension of our faith, of the things we say we believe in. Right before this, we hear the words, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Then we say, I believe in the communion of saints. And afterward, we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So right in the midst of our faith in the Holy Spirit, in the Church, in God's our faith in God's mercy and forgiveness, we find this phrase, I believe in the communion of saints. So it's part of our faith as Catholics. And since the Apostles' Creed is embraced by Protestant Christians, it's also part of their faith as well. So what does it mean, I believe in the communion of saints? It means that we believe that there's a relationship, a communion, between ourselves and those who've gone before us, that the separation or wall of death does not get in the way of the care of the saints for us and our reverence and love and respect for them. That somehow those who've gone before us in life and are now dead are still a part of the life of the Church. So we believe that the saints, as well as the angels, gather with us on a day like today when we come to church. They gather with us as we offer the sacrifice of the Mass to the Father and are with us in that act of worship and praise. And not only are they with us in those moments, but they're with us at other moments as well. My personal patron saint is St. Charles Borromeo, whose feast we celebrate on November 4th. He was a saint, but he was also a bishop. Most bishops don't become saints, you know. So I look to him as an example of what God expects of me in my service as a bishop of the Church, but also the call that God gives to me to be holy. And each one of us here has our patron saint, at least most of us do. Sometimes modern families don't name their children after saints, but after movie stars, and sometimes there aren't saints associated with those names. But for those of us who are blessed to be named after a saint, we have an automatic patron in heaven who intercedes for us and prays for us. But also we have someone that we look to for an example of how to live our Christian life. So it would be very good for all of us here to get to know the saint we're named after. And if we're named after a movie star instead of a saint, we should adopt the name of a saint for ourselves, or use our confirmation in whatever, so that we might have an active faith that proclaims, by the way we live our Christian life, that we really do believe in the communion of saints. That means they care for us, they pray for us, and we look to them for an example for their intercession. The second reason why the Church celebrates this Feast of All Saints is because the Church wants you and me to remember what the Church refers to as the universal call to holiness. That holiness, the sanctity, is not something limited to a few, but is something that God expects of everyone. God calls each of us, everyone present here today, to be a saint. On the Feast of All Saints, we not only celebrate St. Peter and St. Paul and, you know, St. Perpetua and Agatha, you know, all the saints that are in the calendar of saints in the church, but we also celebrate the holy people who've gone before us who aren't canonized. Now, there have been many martyrs in the church whose names are not known today. There are many faithful husbands and wives who've lived holy married lives who we know nothing about. There are many young people who've died in their youth but who were committed to Christ and are holy, again, whose names we don't know. So on this Feast of All Saints, we celebrate the gift of holiness in the church, and we're reminded that each one of us here is called to holiness. A week and a half ago, I was in Rome for the most recent canonization. There were six saints canonized on the 22nd of October. Two of them were nuns, sisters. You can kind of expect holiness from them, I guess. Some of the sisters are here today. You have a special duty to be holy, sisters. But also in this group of six, there was one priest, Monsignor, Father Gill. And there were three lay people. I'd like to talk about the lay people today. One was a German laywoman who suffered a great deal from illness, who was sick most of her life. But she was able to turn that calamity, that burden of illness, into a path of holiness, and lived an extraordinary life of prayer, intercession for the church, and an example of bearing suffering gracefully for the rest of the Christian community. The other two saints, I should say, oh yeah, the other two saints, but then I'll go back to one of the religious. The other two saints were young lay people. One of them was an American Indian, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who died at the age of 24. Yet, despite her youth, she was heroic in her generosity of giving herself to God. The other layperson was a 19-year-old Filipino man who went with a group of priests to preach the gospel in what is now Guam, a possession of the United States, and was martyred by the Guamanians. He was either, I don't know if he was 17 or 19 years old. He was either one or the other. But again, a very young man who courageously gave his life in witness to the gospel. And what this tells us is that holiness is for all of us, whether we're religious, whether we're clergy, whether we're lay people, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're healthy or whether we're sick. Each one of us in our own circumstances is called by God to live a life of holiness. In our first reading today from the book of Revelation, a vast crowd of saints is described, coming from all nations and all times. All of these people individually being faithful to the grace that God gave them and who live lives of generosity and holiness. One final thought. Among the saints, two of them were related to the United States. St. Kateri Tekakwitha, the Indian woman, was born in New York State, and she died in Canada. The other was a sister, Sister Mary Ann Cope, who was a Franciscan sister from New York State, from the area around Syracuse. She was born in Germany but came to the United States when she was 2 years old and joined this Franciscan community that was founded by St. John Newman, Philadelphia's own saint. She eventually went off to Hawaii, where she worked alongside Father Damien, the famous missionary to lepers there, and eventually now she's been canonized herself, a sign to us of generosity, extraordinary generosity in the service of others. The two Americans, one of them touched by the sanctity of a Philadelphia man, St. John Newman. Would that the Lord helps all of us here to understand his call, his universal call to holiness, and that we would commit ourselves in our celebration of the Eucharist today to commit our lives in all the whatever circumstances we find ourselves, to commit our lives to wholehearted generosity in our love for God and our service to our neighbor. May God make you and make me saints.